Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm John Hutchinson filling in for Andrew McKay. That music means it's time for Julio Diaz. Usually, Julio's here to talk about movies. Of course, he's the host of Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. But today, Julio's not going to talk about movies. He's going to talk about Pensacon. Good morning, Julio. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Happy I'm doing Valentine's great. So Day. How's Pensacon going?
Well, it's going great. I mean, what better way to celebrate Valentine's Day, the day of love, than to come out and celebrate your love of pop culture?
Oh, well, there you go. So now, so what are you dressed up as? John Pickens said it was Darth Vader. I'm not sure.
I am dressed up as an executive with Pensacon. So you'll see me in my... at the risk of sounding immodest, if you've seen me on TV in the last week or so, you've probably seen me wearing a blue and white bowling shirt with an embroidered Pensacon logo. I'll be wearing that today. But okay. We do have our dress-up charity ball tonight as part of Pensacon. I will be wearing a cosplay for that. So I'm not saying what it is yet, though.
Oh, you're not? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So explain.
And hey, I want to mention about that in particular, the charity ball tonight, it's starting at 8 o'clock at the Palo Fox House. That is open to everybody. If you are not coming to Pensacon, but you want to come out and have a nice time on Valentine's Day, come out and have a good time with your sweetheart or meet your next sweetheart. It's a $5 donation at the door for our charity, and we're going to have music. We're going to have a cash bar. There's going to be a raffle-style auction going on as part of that. It's going to be a great time for everybody, and it's a good chance to experience a little bit of Pensacon, even if you're not diving in for the whole event.
Yeah. So Julio, tell us in, I don't say 30 words or less, but in a short snippet, what is Pensacon for somebody who's just tuned in and doesn't know what we're talking about?
So it's a celebration, really, of all things pop culture. If you like any kind of people focus on sci-fi, the fantasy, the horror, the comic books, and that's part of it, of course. But if you like anything in pop culture, if you like any TV show, any movie, any book, you name it, we're there to celebrate all that. Some of the guests that we have at Pensacon this year have never really done like a science fiction film or anything like that. Somebody like Angie Harmon, who everybody remembers from Law and Order and Rizzoli and Isles. You know, she hasn't really done a lot of sci-fi, but she is somebody that a lot of people really love and people are really excited to meet. We've also got, you know, somebody like Haley Mills, who's a Disney legend. All of us grew up watching movies like The Parent Trap and Pollyanna, and still working today regularly. Was just in M. Night Shyamalan's Trap last year. Again, not somebody that's really known for sci-fi, but is definitely a pop culture icon. So, you know, if you love entertainment, if you listen to my show on Saturdays, which is all about celebrating entertainment, if you listen to movie reviews I do here on Friday mornings on this show, you know, we don't always just talk about sci-fi and fantasy there either. Same thing. Pensacon is for everybody that loves entertainment. And it's also just a great experience to come out and be amongst people that like the same things you do and kind of experience what I like to call the fellowship of fandom, where, you know, you get to be around people that like the same kinds of things you like and just have a good time.
So
everybody,
can...
I think, focuses too on the costumes. You don't have to come out in costume. You can just come out in jeans and a t-shirt.
So where can I get more information and information on tickets and what's going on where?
Pensacon.com is our headquarters. You can also download the Pensacon app that's available for Android and iPhone users. Or you just come on down. Our box office is open right now. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can get your tickets right there at the box office. And keep up with our social media as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Julio Diaz putting on Pensacon and a Pensacon executive he's dressed up as this morning. So you'll recognize him right away. Julio, thank you always for the great insights you give us on movies. And thank you for your participation and your leadership in Pensacon. All right. Let's go to John.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's go to John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly this morning. And we're looking at 98, looking good. Highway 90 going from Pace into Pensacola or vice versa. We're seeing very good traffic flow. No accidents to report to you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's in the bedroom that totally threw you off. It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk about the three big things happening in Pensacola, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC Basketball, and this weekend's Pensacon.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Pensacon Weekend, the Gulf Coast premier pop culture convention. Meet dozens of celebs, authors, attend panels, enjoy the live music and performances, and so much more. For ticket info, please see pensacon.com. Saturday night, enjoy the Pensacola Symphony's Bond and Beyond performance. Tickets are available at pensacolasymphony.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The Monkees. Good morning. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. Thank you for being with us this morning. It's Valentine's Day. Hey, I got a couple of texts in here I want to read. We just got finished talking to Brian Hicks, giving us some marriage and counseling relationship advice. And we talked about online dating. And one text says, I met my beautiful wife, Reba, online in 1998. We were married in 1996. And then somebody else says, I met my wife online 13 years ago. So online dating does work. And Brian said so much. So thank you for your text. If you've got something you want to add to the conversation, just text us at 850-437-1620. We'll be glad to hear what you have to say. Right now, we are very pleased, privileged, and proud to have Dick Baker in the studio with us. Dick is just a legend in Pensacola. He is a UWF, University of West Florida, trustee. He's also active with Pensacola State College, IHMC, local chambers of commerce, Habitat for Humanity, plays a big role in Reentry Alliance. Dick's been a longtime community leader in our area, and we're glad to have you here in the studio this morning. Happy Valentine's Day, Dick.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you, and thanks for letting me come out.
Absolutely. I asked Dick to come here because of the things that are going on at UWF and because he's a great ambassador for UWF. He's been on the Board of Trustees for a number of years. I know he was president of the foundation for a while, helping raise money at UWF. So, Dick, you know, UWF's been welcoming students, I guess, for like 58 years. They have an enrollment of more than 15,000, and you've been involved for a lot of those years. Take a few minutes and tell us how you've seen the university evolve and grow.
Well, I guess you think about it. Back in the 1960s, it started, and it was just for juniors and seniors. It was back in that concept of when 2+2, where the idea that people would go for 2 years at a community college and then transfer in for their junior, senior year. But that concept really didn't fly, I guess, for very long. But you know, the primary mission back then, and I think it continues today, is that we're a regional university, and our first premise, of course, is to try and, for the students that are coming up out of this Pensacola area, the high schools and all that, a place where they can go to get a quality education and probably much more economically if they had to travel a long distance away.
And I think it has certainly fulfilled that mission. I know the 2+2 program with Pensacola State has been very successful. Mm-hmm. Talk for a minute about the value of having a university, having the University of West Florida in our area. How valuable is that to our community?
I think very valuable, and I guess thinking back in the 1990s, and just me thinking at that time, is that as we were watching at that time, different manufacturing businesses, this area kind of wane and go away. But I kind of thought at the time, things come and go, but the University of West Florida is going to be so important to this region really forever. And as other things come and go, that'll become increasingly important. And it's doing that. And, you know, back in the earlier days, they'd been there quite a while, but I kind of got more involved in the 1990s. You might go around to different town activities, chamber stuff and like that, and every once in a while one of the people there would be a UWF graduate. Now it's almost just the opposite. You can't go and be involved in anything that there isn't somebody that's been a UWF graduate or involved in courses and stuff like that. And it's just the importance to the community just grows and grows. There's so much involved with the arts organization, the historic district downtown. And then, as you say, the enrollment has grown from probably at the time you earlier talked about, maybe 5,000 to about 15,000. And it's now well over 100,000 folks have come and graduated from the University of West Florida.
It's incredible. I know if you don't, you know, UWF's kind of out there north of town. If you don't go out there and see what's going on, you may not recognize the value that it has in our community. You and I, Dick, have both worked on lots of economic development organizations, and we recognize that nothing really happens in a community until you have jobs. Until you have good jobs. And for a while, we had a lot of our young people who were leaving, going away to school and finding jobs in other places. But UWF has helped turn that around in terms of preparing young people and middle-aged people and military people for a career and for a job. And their nursing program, their accounting program, there's lots and lots of examples. But that value, I think, can't be understated in that it is preparing young people to go to work here in Pensacola and provide qualified people for great jobs, which, again, helps us attract industry. When we go out and recruit industry, they want to know how you're going to train your workforce. UWF has been a great partner in that. So the value there is undeniable, undeniable. You were recently nominated to be the new chairman of the Board of Trustees, and the governor has recently named 8 new board members, most of whom, I'll just say, have limited ties to Northwest Florida. The 8 new board members voted in block to name Scott Enor. He's a political science professor from Boise State University in Idaho. They named him as the new chair, and those appointments still have to be confirmed by the state Senate, but do you have any concerns about the new board? How do you see that whole issue?
Well, I don't think I was ever really in line or desirous to be the chairman out there. Things change quite a bit with the new appointments and that, but I'm very optimistic. These people come from all sorts of different backgrounds. All but 2 of them are from the state of Florida. And, you know, there's things are going through changes and all that. We'll probably learn a lot from that. So I'm optimistic. The University of West Florida has been here a long time, be a long time to come. And so the basic core, the university is run by whoever is the president, but right now Martha Saunders is doing an excellent job. And she has, over the course of her provost, president, attracted great, great folks. They're all doing a good job. And, you know, it's not something that we trustees have any great influence over. We our big job is to make sure we've got the best president, and she's doing a job.
Thank you. We're talking with Dick Baker, UWF Board of Trustees. We're going to go to John Pickens right now for traffic on the 5s.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. It looks like I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 in both directions are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thank you, John. We're talking with Dick Baker, UWF Board of Trustees, and longtime community activist, I guess not activist, but community involvement guy. He's been in lots of different boards and done a lot to provide leadership to different organizations.
John, give me a break. I don't think of any of these you've just been talking about where you weren't also there at the same time and doing the same thing. So
I was just trying to be Dick Baker. But thanks for being with us here, Dick. The governor, we talked about the appointees. The governor's has done this at other universities. Of course, he's in the DEI neighborhood trying to fix all that. But the new board members at some of the other universities have voted out the president. And Martha Saunders, of course, has done an outstanding job at UWF. And I think what you just said, the board doesn't have to worry too much about it because UWF has great leadership. Is that your thought?
Absolutely. And it goes, it isn't just Martha. It goes with an awful lot of other people out there. They're really, really excellent. And over time, I've gotten to know some of them and know they're superstars in their field. You know, and probably years past, it was difficult to attract top-level folks like that from other areas of the country to want to come here. And with a whole rebirth of the whole area in Pensacola, downtown, stuff like that, we're a desirable place to come. So we attract the very best, even though they may have been able to take positions at more prestigious universities at higher salaries. We've got really, really good people out there, and the morale has never been higher.
Yeah, I am very impressed every time I talk to Martha or have any interaction with her or the other leadership out there as well. Very impressed by what you're doing. There was a time, since you and I are kind of old-timers, there was a time when there was some concern that the UWF was out there and they weren't involved in the community, and you know, we wanted to get them more engaged in the community. And then Judy Bench came along and kicked that door down pretty good, and got the university involved in downtown, got folks involved in chamber, got folks involved in economic development to become a real partner with the community. And so the leadership there, I think, has a legacy that I think it really stands up. So what's going to happen after Martha? I know at some point she'll leave.
She's earned and she probably deserves a retirement somewhere down the road. I hope it's not for quite a while, but the process is kind of, Martha is the president after a long selection process. It was about a year. And I kind of remember, not that I was involved with it until the very end, but there probably were 100 people qualified or supplied in a long process. The community was involved with members on that committee selection process. So I think we'd go through a similar type process, a national process, and select somebody to be the very, very best.
Yeah, Dick, I didn't expect anything else, but I am so glad to hear your positive attitude about the university.
Oh gosh, yes.
In terms of where it is, in terms of the new appointed members by the governor, there's a lot of folks who are raising a lot of concerns. I think there was actually a protest by some students out there about the new board members and some things that one of them has said about women and about Jewish people and about other people and about straight white people being who should be in leadership positions. And I'm feeling from you that you're above all that, and you hope we can just work through that.
Well, I'm certainly above all of that. Or I think we'll work through that. I don't know that one person on a board of trustees is going to make much of an influence or change on the university process. And you and I and many people have been on sunshine boards. And this is a sunshine board, so we're not talking to each other about anything to do with the University of West Florida policy and so forth. And then we're also the public university system in the state of Florida. There's a Florida Board of Governors, so they're very much influential. And the state legislature every year meets and considers what they think should be taught or not taught or that. And so it's a long process, and so if I were out there at the University of West Florida Board of Trustees and had some idea that was quite a bit different, it'd take me a long time to probably convince everybody involved to make some kind of a change. I think the way we've been moving and direct, we're doing a very good job. Our students are graduating with high salaries. We meet the metrics in a very good fashion. So I can't imagine why any of us at that board would want to change that.
Thank you. We've been talking with Dick Baker, Board of Trustees member, University of West Florida, great community advocate. Dick, thanks for all you do for Pensacola and Northwest Florida.
Well, thank you for having us here.
All right. Now let's go to Steve Taylor with the news. Thank you, Steve.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Vance at a security conference in Munich, Germany, says Europe is being threatened from within by the retreat of fundamental values like free speech.
There is a new sheriff in town, and under Donald Trump's leadership, we may disagree with your views, but we will fight to defend your right to offer it in the public square, agree or disagree.
He's also urging European governments to do more about illegal immigration and take a bigger role in their own security. He's scheduled to meet with Ukraine's President Zelensky today. Trump administration's order to reverse a freeze on foreign aid programs.
Judge Amir Ali, who was appointed by President Biden, issued a temporary injunction against the Trump administration's decision to freeze USAID funds. Judge Ali said the Trump administration hasn't offered a sufficient explanation as to why they need to freeze congressionally authorized funding while they look for waste, fraud, and abuse.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31, 47 degrees right now and clear. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The Santa Rosa County Commission is looking at taking $1.5 million previously set aside to pay for a study at the Navarre Beach Causeway Bridge and putting that towards installing tolling devices on the span to collect funds to be put towards maintenance and the eventual construction of a new bridge. Commissioner Ray Eddington has been pressing fellow board members to start to look seriously at replacing that aging bridge. At yesterday's regular commission meeting, he said establishing a toll is the only way to do it and get money coming in. That's according to the PNJ. A fellow commissioners agreed to discuss that idea of establishing tolls at the next meeting. A proposal will be put on the agenda for the county's February 24th meeting, and based on information obtained by looking at toll biplate systems utilized in neighboring counties, the staff concluded establishing a toll between 50 cents and $1.50 per crossing on the bridge could raise approximately $2 million annually to put towards the bridge maintenance and also construction of a new bridge. There's still a shortage of emergency responders in Escambia County. As of yesterday, the number sits at 17 openings. The current pay rate for a paramedic in Escambia County is $25.32 an hour. Escambia County EMS Chief Christopher Watts says the county is currently negotiating a new pay for the positions, but the shortage comes down to more than just dollar signs.
You could work other jobs for the same or even better pay in some cases and have much less responsibility than people's lives. So that's a contributing factor. And unfortunately, it's just we're not recruiting enough people into the field to begin with.
Watts says the agency partners with the local colleges to expose more people to the field, and he says he can't put a timeline on how quickly they'll be able to hire more paramedics, but he's hopeful to fill all those roles by the end of summer. All the lanes of Highway 90 in Milton were blocked for quite a while yesterday afternoon after a four-vehicle crash. That happened about 2:45 p.m. near the Raceway gas station, Parkmore Plaza Drive area. According to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, a female driver suffered a diabetic episode, causing her to lose control of her vehicle and crash. She was taken by deputies and transported to the hospital by EMS. The Florida Highway Patrol is investigating that crash. Looks like a nice day and a mostly beautiful weekend ahead. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day for this Valentine's Day. Temperatures warming up near 66 degrees for your high, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Saturday, cloudy skies with a 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, very warm and humid with a high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 57 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms moving in very early on Sunday morning. We will be watching for a threat of severe weather through those early morning hours on Sunday. By Sunday afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 69 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Seeing minor delays as you roll through Pea Ridge, both east and westbound on Highway 90. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Well, 47 degrees right now under sunshine in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, and 46 also in Milton at 8:34. The next news is at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. And right now, let's check out what's happening in the financial world. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Americans' credit card debt has reached a record high of $2.1 trillion. Mark Mayfield is going to fill us in.
That's according to a report released by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York on Thursday. The increase is part of a broader rise in household debt, which now totals over $18 trillion from credit cards, mortgages, auto loans, and student loans. In the last quarter of 2024, overall debt grew by $93 billion, with about half of that increase attributed to new credit card debt. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And at the opening bell, the Dow Jones average was in negative territory at 44,689. S&P 500 in positive territory at 6,117. NASDAQ is showing positive territory, too, at 19,953. That's your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
Authorities are responding to a storm damage incident in Escambia County. Multiple Escambia County EMS units are now on the scene.
At any time.
We do know that debris was lost into the air. There are damages to buildings, multiple buildings over there.
At any time.
The National Weather Service in Mobile confirmed this morning a tornado did hit the area.
When you need to know. Marconi Award winner, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I said a hip, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Good morning, Pensacola. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm John Hutchinson, filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. And this is The Wrap. It's Friday, and we didn't want to have a Friday without The Wrap, even though Andrew's not here. And I am very pleased to have in the studio this morning Buzz Ritchie. Buzz was in the Florida House from 1988 to 1998, representing two different districts, I believe. Consolidation.
Basically, they got renumbered through reapportion.
Yeah, renumbered. But 10 years representing us in Tallahassee, a local banker and community leader. So it's great to have you here, Buzz. And then we've got the effervescent Molly Barrows.
Thank you, John.
I like it.
Yes. Molly is a local writer, local reporter, local blogger. Most of us know her from her Channel 3 days.
Yep.
When she covered all the things in Pensacola, and she solves mysteries in her spare time.
Like Nancy Drew.
She has the Gulf Coast Confidential. That's her blog.
Yep.
So I encourage you to look at it. It's very, very well done. It really is.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that.
I really enjoy it. But happy Valentine's Day to both of you.
Thank you.
So we're just going to talk about lots of different things. I want you to get your opinions on it. We'll just see where the conversation goes. It's just a conversation. It's not a test. So, okay. Yeah, there's no grade at the end.
I don't know if you can draw any opinions out of Buzz and I. I'm not sure.
It's going to be tough. I think I can just go get a Coke or something. Yeah. All right, let's start with this. Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America? Molly.
Gulf of Mexico. I grew up with it as the Gulf of Mexico. I just have memories of it as the Gulf of Mexico. But, you know, if they want to call it the Gulf of America, that's fine. I think it's had a dozen names over the centuries. It'll go back to being the Gulf of Mexico probably again.
Buzz?
Ditto. I don't understand it. It's just another game people have to play, but why, I don't know. I mean, Gulf of Mexico, I've told people forever. I've lived here in Florida for 70 years. I've lived on the Gulf of Mexico. It's just hard for me to get rid of that. Maybe I'm just too old-fashioned. I don't know.
I just don't take it personally, I think. It looks so beautiful either way.
Yeah.
I just call it the Gulf.
The Gulf is the Gulf.
Me
that's
too.
What we're all going to say now.
Yeah, just call it the Gulf.
The Gulf.
And the 3 Mile Bridge.
Yes.
Yes, the 3 Mile Bridge, totally.
And PSC.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. No, PJC. 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 See, I still got
that was a hard one. I got older. I got over that.
He was tricking us, Buzz.
Yeah.
Tested us.
Don't change. You know, it was named the Gulf of Mexico because at the time it was named, the United States wasn't even in existence.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
So that's the history there. It wasn't an either or back then. It was just the Gulf of Mexico. So.
You know, but a lot of pundits are saying, if anything, it should be the Gulf of North America.
North America, yeah.
Not right.
America. And we all forget that, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a huge world out there south of us that's been around much longer than we have.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that invited Columbus over here, but that's another story. But Gulf of North America, maybe? I don't know.
It's too long. So if you jumped in the Gulf in Pensacola and swam due south, where would you end up? Do you know?
Being from Pensacola?
From Pensacola and go due south.
Oh, my gosh. You know
somewhere
Americans don't do geography.
Right, really?
You would hit the Yucatan Peninsula.
Oh.
So, Mexico.
I
would have thought that would have been more west.
It's due south. Cancun.
Wow. No wonder we're like, you know, hurricane bowling alley.
Yeah. So if you want to go to Cancun, just get you a rubber raft and just get you a compass and go due south, and you'll end up in Cancun.
Okay.
All right.
Next year.
Right. We settled that one. All right. Will Canada become a state? Buzz?
No. No. That's just another.
An issue that's not as important.
Let's focus on things that we really need, like an improvement to health care, improvement to education, overall raising our overall population to a higher level. I mean, there's so much that can be done in health care, not just the funding, but the providing of health care. And this is a big issue for a lot of people around here now. Nobody used to talk about it, but mental health is huge.
Yep.
Why aren't we focused on mental health answers instead of games? And that's not a political statement necessarily. It's just that to me, there's nothing more demanding than our attention to health care, and probably mental health comes number one.
And veterans too. Veterans really struggle with health care in terms of the providers.
And it's disgusting that we have homeless veterans.
Yes.
And then we're talking about building houses in Gaza. Are you serious?
I don't get
if it's America first, let's make America first. Let's make us the best in the world for health care, but particularly mental health, where we totally suffer.
So when are you running again, Buzz? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. You can imagine the frustration as I sit home and watch the news, because it's not bad what people are talking about, but it's not the priorities. Yeah. I mean, the priorities are different than what we're talking. They're almost like foolish games.
Yeah.
Anyway, to me.
So, I would second that, yeah. Right. But if we do make Canada a state, I mean, do we get a discount on the whiskey?
Yeah.
Canadian whiskey? Maybe there's some perks there, you know? Yeah.
So I was born in Newfoundland. So
really?
So I'm a Newfie, but I guess that would make me legitimate now, you know, since you're an immigrant? I'm an immigrant, but I'm legal.
Okay.
I got a green card somewhere.
If you say so, bring some ice over to your house tonight.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to have to prove anything. Okay, you know? Okay, so we'll see what happens with Canada. I think there's probably a likelihood they say that might happen. So, okay.
Huh.
All right, so have you ever been to Greenland?
Yes.
Yes? All right.
Oh, wow. What was the occasion?
It was years ago. It was a long story. Not for a vacation.
Right.
I was with the Florida National Guard.
Ah.
We were over there. I was helping with their funding.
Yeah.
Saw what they were doing in Europe. We came back and we got diverted and landed in Greenland through an ice storm.
Wow, that's cool. Interesting.
It was a little scary.
I can imagine, yes.
Greenland's a scary place. I mean, the reason I was in Newfoundland was my dad was in Thule, Greenland.
Really?
With the Air Force. And he didn't want to take us to Greenland
because
it's a fairly desolate place, except but for the population.
Never is a vacation.
It never is a vacation. So, Molly, you want to go to Greenland?
Sure, yes. My parents stopped through Iceland. Yeah. We lived in Bermuda a million years ago. He worked for the military over there, and we'd take Navy hops to get different places. And I remember they stopped in Iceland. And I flew over that area on my way to Europe one time, and I saw how empty it was, and it didn't seem like a great place to go clubbing, when you're in your
20s. A lot of minerals in the ground, apparently.
This is what I hear that's valuable. But I think, I'm with Buzz to a certain extent. When we're boots on the ground seeing issues that people face every day, they're not staying up at night wondering if Canada's going to be a state or if Greenland's going to.
My daughter-in-law's family is from Newfoundland. Just a coincidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when they go to visit, the folks in Newfoundland always ask them to bring liquor, all different kinds of liquor.
I remember that about Bermuda, too.
Yeah, because they can't get it up there. So my daughter-in-law's like, I can't put a half a gallon of vodka in my suitcase, Mom. I mean, that's just not going to work. So,
It just takes practice.
All right, we're going to go to John Pickens with traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Well, we've got good news. No accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, even looking through 98 through Gulf Breeze. Is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. We're doing a wrap, and we have Molly Barrows, and we have Buzz Ritchie with us. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. So the county, Escambia County just ran another developer off from OLF-8. I say that. That's probably maybe true, may not be true, but they ran them off with their indecision, if nothing else. So with the county, now I remember working on OLF-8 back in 2005 when we were trying to find a site to swap the Navy with, and Jim Cronley and all those efforts that went to put that together way before Navy Federal was there. But will they ever make a decision, Molly? on OLFA?
I think they eventually will make a decision. You know, we've got several new members now, or at least two, and then one that's less experienced with the whole OLFA process. I myself have just been covering it for 2 years, and only just now feel like I'm beginning to get my mind around it. And like you talked about, it's been an issue that's been ongoing forever. Yeah. I think they've got competing priorities, and I think it's just a matter of trying to meet the needs of the community and that master plan out there and also develop it in a way that does bring in jobs. That seems to be the competing priorities to me. And maybe they don't have to compete, but that seems to be where they get stuck on the board.
Yeah. Buzz?
I guess I start with this, John. I've long believed that government, particularly cities and counties, should not buy property unless it's for conservation. Because they know how to buy it, but they can never agree on how to sell it. Yeah. And I can count on more fingers than I have how many examples I can give. But this is the OLF is another one. Everybody, every commissioner is listening to a slightly different constituency that has a slightly different idea, and they bog down and they can't get rid of it. I mean, how many examples can you think of around here? Just don't buy any more property. Eventually they will. Eventually something will happen, and a lot of people will be mad, and a few people will be happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But government shouldn't buy property, period. Yeah. Government, just leave that to the private sector. That's what capitalism, I think, is all about. Just get out of the way. This is not your show unless you're going to conserve it, and that's a different deal. But
yeah, that's easy to do.
Anyway, that's my rant.
Yes, and I think you're right, and I think that's been echoed by a couple of commissioners. They're ready to get out of the development business, and I think that's how they're perceiving this.
Yeah, the whole idea, the whole reason that started was Escambia County did not and still does not have any industrial sites on the interstate.
Yes.
You look what Santa Rosa County is doing over there. I mean, they're bringing them in every week. Mm-hmm. They've got a new, Shannon Ogletree's got a new industry to announce. It's because they're on the interstate. And that's what you got to have as property on the interstate. So that was the whole concept. Well, then Navy Federal came. And that changed the ball game. There's no question about it. Navy Federal had some desires, and they're a very valuable asset to be on that property, and which is really good. They had their thoughts about what they wanted to do with some of that property, and we ought to honor them, and we have been. But then you got the community out there now that's grown up around there, and where it used to just be seven horses and four cows, now you've got lots of people living around there. My son lives in Nature Trail. You got folks who are concerned about what happens with that property, and so now you have lots of ideas coming in, and it makes it hard. And it makes it hard for government if you have to worry about getting reelected, making people happy, and then worry about making the economic development people happy and making everybody happy. It's a hard thing to do, but I hope they'll get to the point where they can do that and just turn it over, and let a developer run with it. But
good,
yep. All right, Buzz, did it snow on your camellias?
Excuse me?
Did it snow on your camellias? I know you grow camellias.
It snowed on my camellias.
Well, the interesting thing about the camellias, the trees did not get hurt.
Yeah.
The flowers took a beating.
Yes.
Anything that was about to bud and bloom is toasted. So my crop is not what it normally would be. But I've got some photos, which I can't show to you all because we're not on TV.
We're on radio.
But I picked out some beautiful camellias this morning for Libby's Valentine's breakfast. And I've got enough. They're gorgeous. But, no, the plants, I encourage everybody, plant camellias. They're very hardy. They hardly ever – we've been through several snows and ice storms, and I've never lost a plant. I lose flowers and buds, but the plants are gorgeous.
I love plants, too, and my camellias just held up beautifully. In fact, I made a point of getting video and pictures of my camellias because I was like, oh, look at these beautiful flowers in the snow. Of course, they fell off, you know.
They're great. Well, they do.
Sadly.
They don't. The flowers don't like the freeze and the cold and the storms.
I've got a huge philodendron. Well, it was huge. It was probably close to 6 feet tall. And probably 10 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And last year, or 2 years ago, when we had the freeze, it really killed it. And, you know, I cut it all back, and it came back last year. And it was about half its original size.
Aww.
This year, and now it's all on the ground again. So they don't, philodendrons and elephant ears do not like the cold
weather.
They do
not. But I'm more proud of my citrus. I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes?
I have about 8 citrus plants. They're all containers in my backyard.
Okay.
They're not in ground. So the 6 that I took into the garage and babysat them.
Yes.
All have new blooms on them in the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's amazing. Well, the other two, I'm not too sure. I couldn't move them because they were too big.
Yeah. So you're just waiting to see.
Waiting to see if I get through the bad part.
A friend of mine lost a couple of little banana plants she had just planted, and she was crushed. But then like four have come up in the place of two.
Well, the root system.
They'll come back.
Survive.
Good.
Yeah.
And I've got an orange tree, and which is really bad because nobody in my family eats oranges. So I've got 7,000 oranges that I give away. I try to
give
them away.
Tell them to worry about scurvy. They'll never get scurvy if they eat your oranges.
I text people and say they're in a bin by the side of my house. There's paper bags there. Come get all you want and try and give them away. But my oranges did fine this time.
So gravitate to Meyer Lemons and make limoncello. You don't have any trouble giving that away.
I think Buzz is inviting us to brunch. That's what I'm hearing.
That sounds like
And
it.
He just showed me a picture of his beautiful camellia set up for breakfast, and there was champagne, y'all. Telling you. At least that's what I saw.
Well, you know, retired legislator, you know.
Well, nothing else to do.
Life of leisure.
So, Molly, Gulf Coast Confidential.
Yes.
Her blog. Tell us what's coming up.
Oh, it's my podcast. I love it. It's a true crime, so I do cover local cases as well as some national ones, too, and try to get into some of the deeper issues. You know, in all the years that I worked for Channel 3, mostly I covered crime, and I ended up talking to a lot of victims. And so, you know, I think it's important to tell everything honestly and from all viewpoints, but I do have a tendency to be drawn to the stories of people who don't feel heard. And so I try to give a platform to folks that maybe want to get their side of an issue that is, you know, how they've either been victimized by a crime or don't feel like they're getting the justice that they want. So, you know, I like to advocate in that regard.
And it's as I said earlier, solve mysteries. So.
Yes, I like to solve mysteries. I like to be knowing what's going on. Well, you know, I broke the whole story on Dr. Bren Brown, and I'm working for the Pensacola News Journal, and they really have been so supportive, and I love working for them. And then they gave me some time and freedom to really dig into that and talk to a lot of former patients who felt like that he had performed shoddy surgery that left them with permanent disabilities. And it was some of those very patients that I talked to right here in Northwest Florida that ended up being included in the Department of Health's report that temporarily, you know, restricted his license.
It was excellent.
So thank you. And I don't mean that like, yay me. I'm just saying that's the importance of journalism to me.
Yes.
And being able to have that opportunity to dig in and tell people, hey, this is what's going on. It's up to you what to do with that information, but here's what's happening.
So as long as I have you here, as long as that went on, with all the personal injury lawyers that we have in this community, some are nationally fabulously famous.
Right.
Why did this not get stopped earlier?
That's a great question, Buzz. I'm so glad you asked.
Oh, okay. That's what you wrote down on this piece of paper.
Right next to my camellia. But yeah, in a nutshell, and I actually talked to several personal injury attorneys and asked them the very same question. And, you know, without getting too complicated, basically Ben Brown was part of an organization under their umbrella, North Florida Surgeons. And they're basically an organization that provides HR and that sort of thing, the administrative part. So they can do the thing that they do, which is be a doctor. But they would be included in the paperwork that these patients would sign, essentially arbitration agreements. He also had the lowest level of medical malpractice insurance. So there was no incentive. And like I do talk about on my podcast, you know, we don't really have a lot of alternatives. If a personal injury attorney doesn't take your case, you can't go necessarily to the state of Florida and expect resolution. So as much as personal injury attorneys get a bad rap, and I'm not saying that can't be deserved in some cases, for those who really need a voice, they are the only voice. And so if there's no financial incentive, they can't do it. They do take pro bono cases in a lot of cases, but not necessarily everyone. And that was the problem with the Ben Brown patients.
That makes sense.
All right. Thank you, Molly.
Yes.
I got a question for you when we come back, but let's go to John Pickens on traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay. Thanks for joining us on Valentine's Day. I've got Molly Barrows and Buzz Ritchie in the studio with me on The Wrap. We're talking about different things that are going on. Molly, your podcast and the things you write for the News Journal, it to me is providing an element that we don't have in news anymore. And that is in-depth stories, long stories, research stories, not just the headline plus two sentences, not the quick in and out, not 3 days late type of news that is so prevalent right now. And I grew up in newspapers.
Yes.
And I am so, I pick up, and I'm not dogging the news journal because it's not just them.
Right.
It's everybody where you read something that happened 4 days ago and you end up having 17 questions. But after you read the story, then why didn't just a regular journalist answer these questions in the story? You do that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I love diving into issues, especially homelessness. You and I talk about that a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
And you can follow her on Facebook as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Buzz. I know we were talking about that. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, you can.
We're on social media.
Excellent. 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 All right. So we just had Dick Baker in here from UWF, Board of Trustees. Buzz, give us your thoughts on the new board out there that's been appointed by the governor, and where you think that process is going
to
go.
I'll try to make this quick. Dick Baker is one of my best friends for over 50 years, and I think when you have somebody local like that that's put so much money and time and effort in the university, why they stepped on his toes and kicked him in the back, but I feel like we're losing control of our university. You can't tell me we can't find 10 people who graduated from UWF, who love the institution, who know the institution, that live here locally, that would help promote that. John, you and I worked for years on economic development through the university because we thought they were a catalyst for growing enrollment and employment. And all of a sudden, we have to go out of state to find somebody who's got enough knowledge. Now, it's totally wrong. We've got local people. We don't need to be bringing in outsiders. In my opinion, we have people here locally that can do the job, have earned the right to be in that spot, and will serve the community better.
Right. Boise, Idaho is a little far to go in my mind, too.
Clear across the country. Well, like, if I'm decorating, that's catty corner, you know?
It's almost nonsensical to me. I just think we've got people here locally, graduated from UWF, love the university. And by the way, the university's been doing a darn good job.
Absolutely.
It's not like they've been failing at anything.
Absolutely.
But nobody listens to me. But
well,
I'm glad
wrong.
I have a chance to emote about that.
Molly, your thoughts?
Well, I think it seems like it was designed to get the reaction that it got. You don't put a person in that position who makes the comments that they make and not have people pause and say, hey, what? You know, so I think for whatever reason, that seemed to be the design. And to Buzz's point, when something's working, why mess with it? So I don't know what the overall goal is, but I do believe in the leadership of UWF. I am a UWF graduate, and I believe in this community, and I think they're going to rise up and do what's right, regardless of who wants to be Board of Trustees chair.
Yeah. It still has to pass a Senate committee, and some of the senators over there have basically said, good luck. Don Gates has got some concerns.
Yes.
And when he has concerns, lots of folks have concerns. So we'll see what happens with the process. I was just really disappointed that this was, as Buzz said, the best we could do. And particularly given the comments that were made, I wouldn't hire you to be to clean my house if you made those kind of comments.
Right.
You know?
Right. But, so over the top.
But anyhow. All right. Buzz Ritchie.
Yes,
Molly Barrows, thank you for being here on The Wrap. You did great.
Well, this is a fun way to spend a Friday morning.
Fun way to spend a Friday morning.
My favorite Valentine's.
My favorite Valentine's. Hey,
my
John Hutchison.
Valentine.
I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay. Thank you. It's been a great morning. See you down the road.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.